Blog Talk Radio.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Tonight, you're listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle. I'm your host tonight with my co-host, Kevin Wilkinson, and we welcome you to this edition, March 25th, 2014. We are going to have, I believe, probably one of the most important episodes that we will ever have. I believe this subject is to be, for many, many, many people across the world and even many Christians, this issue can be controversial, but these issues are vitally important because they do have eternal issues involved, eternal salvation issues. So we're going to get into tonight a little bit about the mark of the beast and the question of will Christians still be here when the mark of the beast comes? Is there such thing as a pre-tribulation rapture? I know that is the popular teaching out there, but we're going to look at what the Bible says about the rapture and when it takes place, and then we're going to look at the mark of the beast, and we're also going to play some clips tonight of some different people out there in the world in the tech sector. We're going to have a clip from our Vice President Joe Biden when he was a senator. I think some things that will amaze you at how far along we are toward the mark of the beast. But first, before we get into the rapture issue and before we get into this issue, let's pray tonight and ask God's blessing on this time together. And, of course, a little later, we're going to be taking your phone calls with comments and questions. And, again, I don't mind if you disagree. That's fine. We'll discuss it and still love each other as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So let's pray tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your grace, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus shed on that cross for us. Thank you that we know, God, that he was raised from the dead the third day. He is our Savior and Lord, and we just praise your name tonight, Father. And we pray, God, that you will anoint this time, that you'll touch every person listening and those who will listen in the future to this broadcast. But, Lord, we ask you to touch every person. Holy Spirit, move upon them. Holy Spirit, speak to them. We pray for the Spirit of truth to lead us and guide us into all truth, to set us free, to help us be prepared spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and even physically for the things that are about to transpire on the earth. Father, we pray it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, as we get into tonight, I want to say this up front, that as a minister, as a pastor even, I served as an evangelist and also I believe called to be a prophet, I do believe that there is a last 7 years. I know that there are people out there who disagree with that, but I believe that there's a last 7 years because the book of Daniel, chapter 9, talks about the Antichrist will make a peace treaty with Israel that will be for 7 years, and that in the middle of that week or that last 7 years, he will break that treaty, and that's when all hell breaks loose. So I do believe that the last 3.5 years of the 7 years is called the Great Tribulation. But I believe that the peace treaty that our president and our Secretary of State, John Kerry, that are working so hard to push the Palestinians and the Jordanians into a peace treaty with Israel, and to divide the land of Israel. The book of Joel talks about when they part the land, when they part my land, that will be the event that will trigger everything to head towards Armageddon. And, of course, the treaty that they're working on right now is to divide the land of Israel, to separate out the Gaza Strip, to separate out the West Bank, or what was traditionally called Judea Samaria, there, and to cut that out and give that to the Palestinians as a homeland. So the Bible is very clear that when that peace treaty that comes that divides the land, and when the Jews are allowed to share the Temple Mount again, Revelation 11, 1 and 2, when they're allowed to share the Temple Mount with the Arabs, the Muslims, the Dome of the Rock, will know that that peace treaty is the one that will trigger the last 7 years leading up to the return of Jesus Christ physically to this earth, not Jesus in spirit form, not Jesus in another man or a woman, but Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who died on the cross, that rose from the dead. That same Jesus will return in like manner. It even says in the book of Zechariah that they will see the scars, the nail prints in his hands. They'll see the scars and ask, the Jews will ask, where did you receive these wounds? And he'll say, in the house of my friend. So we know the same Jesus Christ who was here 2,000 years ago, who did the miracles, who lived a sinless life, who was Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, who died on the cross for the sins of mankind, that rose from the dead on the third day, that same Jesus is the one we believe is coming again at the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the 7 years, the 70th week of Daniel, at the end of the last 3.5 years, which is called the Great Tribulation. We know that Jesus is returning. But before Jesus returns, there's a lot of events that are going to take place that the Bible foretells that will take place in those last 7 years and in especially that last 3.5 years. And one of those, of course, is the mark of the beast, the rise of the Antichrist, the rise of a world government that will control the world, and the rise of one man that will take control of that world government, and also the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist, which will control every man, woman, boy, girl, whether we buy or sell. And we're going to read that in just a second because it's an amazing prophecy. And then we're going to discuss the serious issue is, will Christians be here to the mark of the beast? Will Christians be here to face the Antichrist, the persecution that's coming through the Antichrist? And this is a serious issue. I know a lot of my brothers and sisters out there, a lot of Christians believe we're going to be raptured out of here beforehand. But what if we're not? And what does the Bible really say about that? But see, I just want to say this, too, before we read the scriptures in Revelation 13 and talk about the mark of the beast. But I just want to say this. If you can't even possibly consider that the rapture of the church, the catching away, when the dead in Christ rise and then we which are alive and remain are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, if you can't even fathom or admit that there is a possibility that it might not be before this last 7 years and the Great Tribulation and all the things that are going on, I just say that you've been brainwashed. You're really locked into a religious mindset, because I know there's a few verses that sound like it's pre-trib rapture, but there's a whole lot more that sound like it's not. So here's the thing. Whenever there's a situation like that, we need to possibly consider that it might not be a pre-trib rapture. I may not be getting out of here. And if not, what do I need to be doing? What do I need to be ready to face? What do I need to be doing spiritually, emotionally? What do I need to be doing for my family? What do I need to be preaching as a Christian, sharing? What should my witness be? As a pastor and as ministers, what should we be warning people about and preaching about? So I think this is a serious issue, and we're going to read it in Revelation 13 and 14 because the mark of the beast is very clear. The Bible is clear in Revelation 14 that if any man takes the mark of the beast and worship his image and receive that mark in his right hand or forehead, that man or woman will be damned to hell forever. The Bible says they will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. And it says the smoke of their torment will ascend up day and night forever. So it says any man there, Christian or non-Christian, it doesn't matter. that act of taking that mark in the right hand or forehead to be able to buy or sell and to is going to be a pledge of allegiance to the Antichrist system, to the world government system, and to the man who will lead that system. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, says that that is an ultimate betrayal of him that will not receive forgiveness whatsoever. But before we look at that, and before we look at what some popular preachers are teaching about this and saying that you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved, you're going to hear some very famous preachers say that lie. But before we look at that, I want to read Revelation. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 13 first. In Revelation 13, verse 1, he says this, and this is that United Nations world government, these beast kingdoms coming together. He says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat and great authority." And the dragon is the devil. "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon," that means they worshiped Satan, "which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, 42 months is 3.5 years. So we know at this point, when this all this begins to transpire in its fullness, is when there's 3.5 years left, which will be the Great Tribulation. And this is when the Antichrist rises to full power. And I just want to give you a little hint. We get caught up on words sometimes. When it was talking about worship here, the word worship in the Greek language simply meant, one of the definitions of it simply means to bow or kiss the hand. So this simply can mean a bowing, a submitting to, a pledge of allegiance to, even. And so it doesn't necessarily mean you're standing there with hands raised worshiping a man or worshiping an image or worshiping something. It just simply means you can pledge allegiance to, you can bow and submit to a system and a man that's going to be the end time Antichrist following the devil. It's going to be a submission to Satan's government and to Satan's leader. And the Lord says you don't do this. But let's go on and talk. Let's see what the Antichrist says he will do here. Verse 5 again, it says, "There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Do you hear that? All power. He will make war with the saints. The saints are the people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I read this as a young man, as a young preacher, I remember, how can the Antichrist make war with the saints if all the saints are gone? And I know some of you out there say, "Oh, those are the people who get saved after the rapture." Well, maybe not. Let's just continue. Right? He says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." He says, "If any man have ear, let him hear." Now he says there's another beast that's going to rise up. And we're just going to drop down to verse 10 just for the sake of time. You can read the whole chapter yourself later. It said, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, And his number is 600-306 or 666. And we're going to keep reading. If you jump over into chapter 14 of Revelation, there's three angels that come out and declare three different things. But the third angel that comes out, and this is verse 9, says this. And it says, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So this could not be more clear. And this, too, is one of the most, to me, it's one of the most amazing prophecies in the Bible, because when this was written 2,000 years ago by the Apostle John, through this vision being caught up into heaven, taken into heaven, and Jesus Christ himself showing him this, all of this, and he writes all of this down in the book, 2,000 years ago, he said, there's going to be a uniting of nations, that when man is going to come up and take control of that, they're going to make war with the Lamb, they're going to make war with the saints, and they're going to cause everyone, rich, small, great, poor, it doesn't matter, they're going to cause everyone to receive a mark. And I love what the old King James, the authorized version says, always said for 2,000 years, in their right hand or in their forehead, and then connects it with the ability to buy and sell, commercial transactions, economic activity. He says something's going to mark their hand, be in their hand, in their forehead, that will control whether you can buy or sell goods. Now, just fathom this. Even back 50 years ago, this was not possible. Even 30 years ago, this could not have been possible. But now we have moved into the season where technology has finally caught up with satellites and computers and computer chips and nanotechnology and all the things that needed to come together to have global communication, instant global communication. And now we know through credit cards, through the internet, through computers, through satellites, we know that we can buy or sell without money. Now soon, they're going to place these things in people's hands and in people's foreheads. But this couldn't have even been imagined. Again, this couldn't have even been fathomed that this would take place. Now here's another interesting note. And of course, I'm going to say this very plainly. I believe that some form of RFID, some form of a computer microchip is going to be implanted, whether it's the actual present RFID chip or if it's some kind of integrated RFID chip into a tattoo of some sort, what they're calling an electronic tattoo. They're still developing the technology, but it can be done now. But whatever, it will be something implanted upon your hand, your forehead, that'll control whether you buy or sell. And the Bible's very clear. You do not take this mark. You do not bow down to this system. This is where Christians rise up. You know, and let me say, before we go much further than this, you know, there's a big push out there to say about Romans 13, pushing Christians to say that we must always submit to the governmental authority. Well, right here we're told that there's going to be a world government, there's going to be a world leader, and he's going to demand that everyone take this chip in their right hand or their forehead. And the Bible tells us that Christians and everyone do not do this. So this is already a form of resistance to the satanic powers and authorities that are going to come into these governmental positions and take over. So this is a very, very serious matter. But here's something that's very interesting. If you look up the word in here, when it's written in the English language as mark, if you look up the word in the Greek language, it is the word karagma. Karagma is the word here for mark, and this is the definition from the Strong's Greek Dictionary. It says it's a scratch or etching. It's a stamp, a badge of servitude, a something sculptured or engraven. Now, here's what's interesting. I watched some videos not too long ago about how they make silicone microchips for computers. And after they make the silicone wafer, the circuit path and the things that they need to do to make that thing an active working computer chip is they use a process called photo etching. Basically, through light, using light to engrave the circuit path on a silicone wafer. So a long, long, long time ago, before any of this technology existed, the Bible, God's prophets, the Apostle John, foretold that something engraved, something etched, something small etched engraved would be implanted in your right hand or forehead that would be able to control whether you could buy or sell. To me, if anybody doubts the Bible, this one right here ought to convince you there is something special. There is something unique about God's word, the inspiration and the power of God's word. Now, as we get into this, I'm going to play a few clips. First of all, I'm going to play a clip of from 2005. This is a clip, and again, I'm saying this and I'm sharing these clips because I want you to hear that our governmental authorities, people in power, people in the know, are pushing this. And in 2005, at the Senate hearing, the confirmation hearings for Chief Justice of the Supreme Court nominee John Roberts, then Senator Joe Biden, now Vice President of the United States, made this comment. So we're going to listen to this clip, and I want you to listen closely. In fact, I may play it twice because I want you to hear what Senator Biden, now Vice President Biden, said in this 2005, it was January 25th, 2005 Senate hearing to the nominee for Supreme Court Justice, John Roberts. Here is here's what he said.
Our constitutional journey did not stop then, and it must not stop now, Judge. And we'll be faced with equally consequential decisions in the 21st century. Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that. And Judge, I need to know whether you will be a justice who believes that the constitutional journey must continue to speak to these consequential decisions, or that we've gone far enough in protecting against government intrusion into our autonomy, into the most personal decisions we make. Judge, that's why this is a critical moment.
Now, can you believe in 2005, Senator Joe Biden, he's grilling the nominee, the man who would become the Supreme Court Justice of the United States Supreme Court, grilling him about an implantable chip that would control, now notice what he said, that would be able to track every person's movements on the face of the earth. He wasn't talking about a medical implant. He wasn't talking about just something for data. I mean, the senator spilled the beans. Vice President Biden spilled the beans. I want to listen to it one more time. I want you to listen to the words again and hear what he's saying. 2005 Senate hearing, Joe Biden, Senator Biden, grilling Chief Justice nominee John Roberts. Hear what he says again about this.
Our constitutional journey did not stop then, and it must not stop now, Judge. And we'll be faced with equally consequential decisions in the 21st century. Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that. And Judge, I need to know whether you will be a justice who believes that the constitutional journey must continue to speak to these consequential decisions, or that we've gone far enough in protecting against government intrusion into our autonomy, into the most personal decisions we make. Judge, that's why this is a critical moment.
Wow. So Senator Biden says this is a critical moment in 2005. Let me ask you something. Where do you think we are now in 2014 in this constitutional journey headed toward putting a chip in every person? You know what they're saying? The constitutional journey is coming to an end. Your constitutional freedom, the Fourth Amendment, the Second Amendment for sure, the First Amendment, they're coming to an end. They're saying we're moving on past the ideals of the United States of America that was pretty much freedom, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, that this is over. Our rights to privacy, all of those things, our rights to keep and bear arms, all of those rights that the Constitution ensured, they're going down the tubes. And it started a while back. But here we are, talking about the day coming when no man or woman will have any privacy because they will have a chip that's able to track their every movement. And what now they're talking about, not only track your every movement, track all of your vital signs, what's going on, even to the point of possibly getting to the place of knowing what you think. This is beyond anything. This is what the devil's always wanted, to be able to control Satan and his evil people, these Illuminati, these globalists, these Satan worshipers, these kings and rulers that have now agreed behind the scenes, that have conspired to create this world government and to bring us under total control. That is what this is all about. And exactly what the Bible prophesied. What amazes me is that these Satanists and these Illuminati and these leaders out there, whether they're just secular or progressives or they're just on board, but what's amazing is that they deny the Bible, they reject the God of the Bible, they reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, yet they're working day and night to fulfill the very scriptures. They're working day and night to fulfill the scriptures in the book of Revelation to bring this about. Now, I'm going to play another clip here before we take any phone calls, but I want to play another clip here. And the clips, the two clips I'm about to play are from a guy named Aaron Russo. Aaron Russo was a filmmaker. He got involved in politics and was actually going to run for governor of the state of Nevada. This man was not a Christian at all, not even a little bit. He was not a Christian. But he was approached by one of the Rockefellers. Now, the Rockefellers, if you don't know, family has been working very hard for many years to bring about a world government, to bring this all about. They're the ones that donated the land to the United Nations. They have pushed for this world government. They have pushed for this system. And when they saw Aaron Russo getting some attention, possibly, you know, going to become a governor, of a state and really beginning to have some influence, they set up a meeting. Someone set up a meeting because Rockefeller wanted to meet him. And basically they filled him in on the plan of what the globalists and these Luciferian and Illuminati satanic world leaders wanted to do. And so he spilled the beans in an interview. So let's go to this clip, a couple of clips. Aaron Russo, and of course you can find these on YouTube. You can listen to the entire interview, but we're just going to play a couple of the clips. But this is, he's going to tell how he was introduced to David Rockefeller, and then he's going to tell how they plan to get everyone chipped, everyone marked, to control everything. So let's play those clips now.
I met Rockefeller through a female attorney I knew who called me up one day and said, one of the Rockefellers would like to meet you. I had made a video called Mad as Hell, and he'd seen the video and wanted to meet me and knew I was running for governor of Nevada. So sure, I'd love to meet him. And I met him, and I liked him, and he was a very, very smart man. And we used to talk and share ideas and thoughts. And he's the one who told me 11 months before 9/11 ever happened that there was going to be an event. Never told me what the event was going to be, but there was going to be an event. And out of that event, we were going to invade Afghanistan to run pipelines from the Caspian Sea. We were going to invade Iraq, you know, to take over the oil fields, establish a base in the Middle East, and make it all part of the New World Order. And there's going to be this war on terror, which is no real enemy. And the whole thing is a giant hoax, you know, but it's a way for the government to take over the American people. 9/11, the whole agenda is to create a one-world government where everybody has an RFID chip implanted in them. All money is to be in those chips, right? There'll be no more cash. And this is giving me straight from Rockefeller himself. This is what they want to accomplish. And all money will be in your chips. And so instead of having cash, anytime you have money in your chip, they can take out whatever they want to take out whenever they want to. If they say you owe us this much money in taxes, they just deduct it out of your chip digitally.
Total control.
And if you're like me or you, and you're protesting what they're doing, they can just turn off your chip, and you have nothing. You can't buy foods. You can't do anything. It's total control of the people.
And that chip's connected to a database that has your purchasing records, what you do, what
everything.
You sell.
Everything is in there, you know. And so they want a one-world government controlled by them, everybody being chipped, all your money in those chips, and they control the chips, and they control people. And you become a slave. You become a serf to these people. That's their goal. That's their intentions.
Okay, there you have it. That was Aaron Russo, a filmmaker, former candidate for governor in the state of Nevada. Of course, he's now deceased. But anyway, there he is spilling the beans of what David Rockefeller and these Illuminati, these globalists want to do. And again, lines up strictly and very clearly with Revelation 13 and 14. Now, I see we've got a couple of callers, so we're going to take these calls before we go to break. We're going to at least take one. So are you there? Hello. Who are we speaking with tonight? Anyone there? I'm looking at the 75089 number. You're on the air. Anybody there? Okay. Well, we will go to the next one. All right. The 209 number, are you there? Hello? Checking to see if we have a caller here. Can you hear me? Okay. Well, I guess not. I don't know what is going on exactly. Maybe they didn't mean to click the one button to talk to the host. Well, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back in just a few minutes, but we'll come back and continue our discussion about the Mark of the Beast until we get a few more clips to play, and then we're going to get into some of the scriptures and how this ties in to the importance of understanding when the rapture is. So we will be back in just a minute. Just stay with us.
Signs are lining up. far as I can see, we're closer now than ever. This pain won't last forever. Love is on his way. Stand up, time is now. Lift up your hand. Raise your hand. If you're with me, raise your hand. If you're ready, say, hey, hey, I'm not afraid. Hey, 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 it's the end today.
You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Okay. Okay, we're back. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle. We're here in Auburn, Opelika area of Alabama. We welcome you. I'm pastor of Fire and Grace Church here in the Auburn, Opelika area. And, of course, if you want to check us out on the web, it's deanodle.org or fireandgracechurch.org. And you can also look us up on Facebook, Dean Odle Ministries, and Fire and Grace Church on Facebook, and contact us that way. Anyway, we're looking here. I'm looking at a couple of callers, and I want to give you an opportunity. If you are looking to have a comment or a question, want to do that before we get into the next segment, because we're going to go into Revelation chapter 20. But I'm going to go here to the 209 number. And if you're there, we're going to click you on here. So you're on the air with Prophecy Quake. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Yes.
Pastor Dean.
Hey. Yes. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, it's just, not area code 209, but.
No, not area code. I was just doing the prefix. But yeah.
Oh, okay. I got you, man. I got you.
Yeah.
Hey, something that really is of urgency, I think, is that people need to draw close to the Lord, because with growing close to the Lord, we're going to have more and more discernment. And discernment is very, very important right now, because the deceptions are many. You know, there's so many people right now that look at these new, quote-unquote, technology things that are coming forth, and they see nothing wrong with it. You even mentioned tattooing and things of that nature. People need to open their eyes, because there's more and more ways now that is being developed that they're going to be able to implement these changes that they want to make to control people and to attempt to bring down humanity as we know it. Would you not agree?
Right. I'd agree. Amen, brother.
It's
all about control.
It's important that we continue to get the message out, you know, the full gospel, open these people's eyes, because the day of our Lord is coming soon. It is coming soon, sooner than people think.
Very true, brother. Very true. You know, and that brings me to something, and, you know, you bringing that up, that it's time, you know, we've got to keep getting the truth out. I want to play a clip.
Oh, amen.
You stay with us. Stay with us, Billy, on this. I want to play a clip. This will blow your mind, and we'll discuss it here afterwards. But I am blown away by the deception and the falling away that's taking place in the church, among Christians, falling away from the truth, walking away from things that are clear. Now, just a little bit earlier, and especially if those of you who are listening, if you just tuned in, we covered Revelation 13 and Revelation 14. And, of course, Revelation 13 talks about the mark of the beast, that the beast, the world government, the man that would rise up, that he's going to cause everyone, small, great, rich, poor, to receive a mark in the right hand of their forehead, and without which they won't be able to buy or sell, and it will even be marked for death. Now, of course, he won't succeed in killing everyone who resists this mark, but the truth is that's the plan. That's Satan's plan. And then in Revelation 14, there are three angels that come forth and speak very clearly. And the third angel says, if any man takes that mark or worships that beast but receives that mark in their right hand or their forehead, it says that man or woman, any man, says, very clearly that they will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and that the smoke of their torment in that place of torment in hell, will go up day and night forever. It is an eternal decision. It's an eternal rejection. It's there is no forgiveness once this is done. Yet, there are preachers out there, well-known preachers, even preachers who preach on Bible prophecy, who are saying that you can take the mark of the beast during the last 7 years, you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved or redeemed at the end and go to heaven. Now, what's going to blow people's minds, if you're listening out there, and these are going to be names that you recognize. Number one, I'm going to give you the three that are all going to be on this clip. And we're going to play the whole clip here because you need to hear. They had a radio show, and it's hosted by this guy named Brandon House. And there is a well-known prophecy teacher who's even visited our city and spoken at a Baptist church here in town, a prophecy teacher by the name of Jimmy DeYoung. And then, of course, the well-known Calvinist preacher, John MacArthur. And they discuss and play the clip of John MacArthur. And this, to anyone who knows the Bible, ought to just shake you to your core at the departure from truth. So, Billy, I want you to stay with us. I'm going to play this clip. It's a little long, but I think everyone out there needs to hear this complete, I mean, this is just complete heresy. And here's the thing, dangerous false doctrine. And see, here's the thing. I believe that these guys have fallen into this belief of saying that you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved because of their Calvinistic theology that, of course, that if you're chosen part of the elect, you know, you're in no matter what. And then, of course, the mutated false teaching that once you're saved, you're always saved no matter what you do. Of course, taking the mark of the beast and being lost forever kind of blows that out of the water. So I can see where they want to try to, they would have to try to gloss this over to hold to their Calvinism and to their once saved, always saved. False teaching, but hear what these men say and have your minds blown that these men have huge audiences of millions of Christians that listen to them, and this is the dangerous error that they are sharing. Here it is.
Story to tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about it? I've got a surprise for you today.
Okay.
Do you remember when you talked about the someone asked about the mark of the beast and whether or not someone could receive the mark of the beast and then become a believer? You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the controversy that stirred up?
Yes.
It was quite a bit, wasn't it?
It was.
I got a lot of emails, people saying, I can't believe he would say such a thing. You remember all that?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Well, I was walking April the other night listening to a Q&A from a few years ago. Where John MacArthur on a Wednesday night would have the folks in his congregation stand up and go to the microphones and shoot questions at him. Would you like to hear the question he was asked and his answer?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
In regard to the latter half of the tribulation period, when men would be required to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell, my question is, once a person takes the mark, is there any possibility of him coming to Christ?
Yes. I think, you know, in the seven-year tribulation coming in the future, we're going to get into this probably a week from Sunday night, maybe this Sunday night, maybe a week, I'm not sure. But the tribulation is a seven-year period, right? The rapture of the church, seven-year tribulation, then Christ returns, sets up his kingdom. Now, in that seven-year period, really two things happen. God begins to judge the world with a series of holocausts, and at the same time, he begins to redeem his people Israel. And in the process of this, the Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. The mark being the number of a man, Revelation 13, 666. Six is the number of man, right? Seven is the number of perfection, and man always falls short of perfection. 666. Always six is never seven. So the number of a man. And apparently what's going to happen, you take the mark on your hand or on your forehead. And we've talked a lot about that, you know, that's kind of the computer situation. We're now moving fast toward the time when we're going to have to do everything we do by cards and by numbers and all of that. And those numbers, the thing about a card that's a problem is you lose it, and they've already devised systems to put the number on your hand and on your forehead, and you go through a scanner, and then, you know, that's how you buy and sell. It's automatically deducted from your bank account. Now, the question is, if you're living in the tribulation period and you take this mark, in other words, you identify with the beast's empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes. Otherwise, there would be no salvation of anybody in the end of the tribulation. And you've got to have the salvation of folks in the end of the tribulation. You're going to have the Jews redeemed. You're going to have, according to Revelation chapter 7, an innumerable number of Gentiles redeemed, so many they can't even be counted across the face of the earth. So I don't think the fact that someone takes that is a sentence to permanency any more than you being a part of this world system once in your life means you have to be a part of the system all your life. Well, especially when the 144,000 don't start their ministry till the second half.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That make it a little tough.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Dr. DeYoung.
Well, we're looking at the same book. You know, that's what's so interesting, and that's what we were saying. I mean, you know, that's not the unpardonable sin. You've got to be. I've never thought that what he said there was very interesting. The fact is, if nobody gets saved in the last 3.5 years because they have received that mark, where's that unbelievable number of Jews that come to know Christ that are living, that actually go into the millennial kingdom in natural bodies? That's good that Brother John is looking at the same book that I am, and we came up with the same answers.
Well, it is, and that was very interesting because you remember that was really, really controversial. I'm not so sure you've ever made a statement on our program before that was as controversial as that one, and I got so many emails on it, and then I was walking the dog the other night listening to this Q&A, and I thought, oh, I've got to play this on the air. This will be a great surprise for Dr. DeYoung. So there
you go. It is a pleasant surprise, and the dear brothers and sisters who disagreed, you know, I don't quite know where they were coming from. I don't need to know that. But just now, with that confirmation from another Bible teacher, and he's a great Bible teacher. I'm just a beginer, but
No, I wouldn't say that, but go on.
It's great to see that, and the confirmation of both of us believing that same thing. I wonder how many more emails you're going to get now.
Oh, well.
You got two guys on your side that are pretty good, right?
I think so, too.
Yeah. Well, we both love you and love what you're doing and have the opportunity to interact on your program.
Well, the feeling's mutual. Thank you. Oh, well.
Well, you heard it for yourself. Brandon Howe.
Wow.
Jimmy DeYoung and John MacArthur plainly stating that you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved, still be redeemed by Jesus at the end of the tribulation period. I almost feel my blood pressure rising. And then I sit there and listen to them laugh. I sit there and I listen to them kiss each other's butts and laugh as if they don't know where believers are coming from that disagree with them. How about Revelation 14?
Amen.
How about Revelation 20? I am blown away. And what blows my mind, how many people are going to believe this, these preachers, and be damned to hell for all eternity by listening to this false teaching coming from well-known preachers?
Go ahead. You know what got me, it just popped at me like a stop sign on a street corner, is when MacArthur says, and I quote, "He thinks, not the Bible says." Ooh. You know, it's like, this is what you think, but what does the Bible say? He doesn't say. The Bible says it. He said, "I think." And then, of course, DeYoung and him at the end having their mutual admiration society for wrong thinking. And you hit the nail on the head. There's going to be a lot of people not knowing that what they're hearing is poison pablum, and it's going to damn them straight to hell. It's going to damn them straight to hell.
And here's the thing. I said this in my first book, Grace Abuse, in the back. I said the combination of false doctrines, the false doctrine of once you're saved, you're only saved no matter what you do, and the false teaching of a pre-tribulation rapture, when you put those two together, you are creating a toxic soup that's going to destroy the souls of men and women who had they been told the truth about both of these things, they wouldn't be falling into this trap. I want to read something from Revelation 20 because this talks about the mark of the beast, but also gets into the fact of Christians and the rapture issue. Because the rapture, let's just go ahead and call it for what it is. The word rapture is not in the Bible. That's a term made up by men. What we should really call the rapture is, you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said that the rapture was when the Lord would descend from heaven, give a shout of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ would rise first, and then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord would rise and meet the Lord in the air, and so would we ever be with the Lord. So I do believe that in a rapture, but I believe that the correct term for it is a resurrection. It's the resurrection of the dead saints' bodies. It's the resurrection and the rising up of the still living saints, the true followers of Jesus that have repented of sin, been born again, washed in the blood, truly walking with him. He says that, so it's a resurrection. It's the resurrection of the dead. And I don't think anybody, you know, any true Christian would disagree with me that a more biblical term is the resurrection. But here in Revelation 20, this is probably one of the most damning passages to a pre-tribulation rapture because it talks about the mark of the beast. Now, we know the mark of the beast is not instituted from Revelation 13. We know it's not instituted until the Antichrist has 42 months to continue. So it's not instituted fully upon the world until the 3.5-year mark or the middle of the last 7 years. So you got to remember that the pre-tribulation rapture believers say that we're the church is taken out before that point, before the Antichrist comes, before the mark of the beast is instituted, because we're out before the 7 years begins. That's what they say, right? So what they're saying is that the resurrection, the first resurrection, the resurrection of the saints, probably the most significant event outside of the physical return of Jesus himself to set his feet on the Mount of Olives, the most important event is that, and they say it's going to happen before. Well, we got a problem. If the Antichrist doesn't come until the 7 years begin, and the Antichrist doesn't start the mark of the beast and the persecution until he has 42 months to continue in the middle, and yet we see, if we see any scriptures that show us that the rapture hadn't happened yet, we better wake up. So let's look at this. Revelation chapter 20. And we're going to read. Well, we're just going to start reading from verse 1 because this, is, of course, is at the end. This is when the Lord sends down Michael the archangel to take hold of Satan. And we see some things transpire. So verse 1, he said, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, verse 4 is where it starts getting interesting here. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, I don't know about you, but I see something here very clearly. Very clearly. In heaven, when this is all said and done and the judgment is set, he said, I saw those there in heaven who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, who had resisted and not taken the mark of the beast, nor worshiped the beast. So he said, I see people there, he said, in heaven, who had resisted the Antichrist and the mark of the beast and had been killed for it. He said these were part of the first resurrection. And the second resurrection takes place 1,000 years later. That's the wicked dead. They're resurrected to the great white throne judgment, and all the wicked dead go into the lake of fire. That's what Revelation 20:15 tells us, 11 through 15. So here we see men and women Christians who resisted the mark of the beast. They stood up for Jesus. They stood up for the Word of God. They were killed because they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't worship the beast. They wouldn't take his mark. They were killed. And he said, these are part of the first resurrection. Now, I got a question for any pre-trib rapture believer, any pastor out there. You tell me how in the world men and women can die resisting the mark of the beast, and they're in the first resurrection. What's this resurrection you're preaching that takes place 7 years before?
Amen.
Negative one, negative two, yeah. Negative zero. What is it? Because yeah. The last time I checked, first meant first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
what
no
say
secret.
You, Pastor?
There's no secret comeback by Jesus that isn't in the Bible.
No.
You know, it's plain and simple. I mean, if people cannot read Revelation 20, and especially understand it, I mean, it's plain and simple. It's right there in black and white. But yet, here's the problem, Dean, I think. A lot of people, A, don't read their Bibles and study it, and two, there's a lot of churches that preach and or teach whatever they want to preach and teach to their congregation. And oftentimes what they preach and teach is not correct. But yet the people blindly go along with it. Sadly enough, those very same people are going to be damned to hell because they are underneath a bad shepherd. A wolf in sheep's clothing, no doubt.
It's scary, and here's what's more scary, and don't get me wrong, I know that there are sincere Christian brothers and sisters out there who love Jesus, they love God, they love the Word, they love the people of God, but they're sincerely wrong, and that's a shame. Now, we know, I mean, I don't know what's going on, if just the demons and the deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils have taken over House and DeYoung and MacArthur. But this is a serious matter. And I just want to say I don't hate anyone that disagrees on this issue. But we're talking about something here that's very, very, very serious, especially when it comes to the mark. And you think about this. Think about how the church, especially in America and the West, is in decline. In severe decline. And preachers are looked at as just most everyone looks at preachers as they're just crooks, they're charlatans, they're liars. Okay? Think about this. Many of these guys who've preached a pre-tribulation rapture for years in books, on TV, in their churches, when all this stuff comes down and people aren't raptured out of here, can you say there's a whole bunch of guys, preacher men, preacher women, that are going to instantly lose any credibility that they had left? Not to mention that they've misled their people. All right.
Without a doubt. Well, that's going to be one of the part of the great falling away, when people realize that, wow, that wasn't the case after the fact. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to completely walk away.
How about this theory? How about people who believed that so believe and so holding on to the false security blanket of a pre-tribulation rapture, they're holding on to it so strongly that when the 7 years begin and we move into all of these things, aren't going to believe that the mark of the beast is the mark of the beast because they're believing that they're supposed to be gone before that happens.
I think that's a good possibility.
This leads to all kind of problems. But let's just back up. Let's look at something else. So we see here, I want to repeat, Revelation 20, he says, I saw, verse 4, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So clearly, men and women who resisted the mark of the beast, Christians who said, no, I believe Jesus is Lord. I will not take this mark. I will not bow to the world government system. I will not bow to the Antichrist, the man. I will not take this mark in my right hand for him because I know what the Word of God says. I will not do it. And they're killed for it. When the rapture happens, it says, when the resurrection happens, these men and women are in that first resurrection. I just want to repeat that again so that our people out there that are listening and those who will listen will hear that. It is clear believers are here to face the Antichrist. And those who face the Antichrist and die aren't part of a second rapture or a third rapture. They're the part of the first one and, frankly, the only one. Let's back up. So we see that it can't happen until the Antichrist comes anyway and issues the mark. So if people are going to die for resisting the mark and be in the first resurrection. So that clearly shows us that the rapture of the church, the resurrection, can't even happen until after the midpoint of the last 7 years, right? So do we have another passage that gives us that same revelation, that same idea? And we do, 2 Thessalonians. We're going to go to it, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 1. And I know this is messing up some people's theology, but guess what? If our theology is wrong, it needs to be messed up.
Amen.
It needs to be wrecked and destroyed systematically so that we can believe the truth, even if it scares us to, you know, scares the hell out of us. Some of us need the hell scared out of us. We got
Amen.
Too much hell in us. Amen?
Amen.
2 Thessalonians 2, we're going to read it slow. Verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren. Who's he talking to? Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Can I stop for a second? He's very clear here. Brethren, I beseech you by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. So he's talking about Jesus' return and the rapture or resurrection of the saints, the true followers of Jesus, right here. Is he not?
Indeed.
I'm asking you, is it true? Or is it just
passing?
Yes, that's Bible. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man, John MacArthur, Jimmy DeYoung, anybody else, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? That day, the coming of the Lord and our gathering together to him, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So clearly here he says that the day of the Lord and our gathering together to him, the coming of the Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him, what our brothers and sisters call the rapture, what's really the resurrection, the first resurrection, he says, will not happen. Let nobody deceive you. It will not happen until there is a falling away, an apostasy, meaning a departure from the truth, and the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, is fully revealed. Now, that's what it says. So when is the Antichrist come? Yes, he's going to come. I believe he's already here. I believe he's already in the move. He's already working. But when he steps up to be part of that peace treaty, the 7 years will begin. Many people still may not fully know who he is and recognize him, but bottom line is by the middle of the 7 years when he steps up and begins the persecution, and he steps into the rebuilt Jewish temple to declare he is God, everyone's going to know that's him. No doubts, no questions, that's the man. So here we have, he says, the day of the Lord, the coming of Jesus, and our gathering together unto him will not happen. Will not happen until these two things take place. Is that what I'm reading?
That's what the word says, my brother.
All right, just making sure. Now let's look at a couple of others.
You are spot on.
I don't know why, I'm sorry, but I feel a little fired up this evening about this.
Well, I mean, this is something that's very important. It's critical. It's critical that people understand these things. And it's sad that some people don't. And like you say, it's not being hateful or spiteful to those that don't understand it right now, but it's like it pains your heart. It pains my heart. It should pain every Christian's heart. We don't want to see anybody perish, especially for believing a theology that's not correct, you know?
Right.
And it's critical. And like I said before, there is a sense of urgency. You know, time is clicking away.
Well, let's give another witness, another scriptural witness, Matthew 24. Of course, anybody that has any familiarity with end-time Bible prophecy, eschatology, whatever you want to call it, has to understand, Matthew 24 is one of the most important passages concerning the return of Jesus, because the disciples plainly asking, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming, the end of the age? And I'm just going to present this kind of quickly as I can. It's pretty plain here. It gives the same, what's amazing about it, it gives the same witness as Revelation 20 that we read. It gives the same witness from 2 Thessalonians 2. You're going to find out the same timeline. And to me, this is a chronological outline that Jesus gave of the last days. So we're going to start reading in verse 3, Matthew 24, verse 3. He says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, or the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am anointed, or I am this or that. But many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." Now, verse 8 is the key. He says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, Jesus, then, if he says this is the beginning, then he's giving us from the beginning, how it's going to start, what are going to be the birth pains, the signs that this labor and travail and troubles beginning. What's interesting is the next verse, he said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. He starts off with verse 9, then. The word then means after this, right? So he says, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then, after this, many shall be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, just like the ones we listened to a few minutes ago. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So Jesus gives us, this is the beginning of sorrows. Then he says, then this will happen. Then this will happen. So we have a clear chronological outline, a sequence of events. Now, we've read 14 down to verse 14, and we've seen nothing about a rapture, which is an important event in the end time scope of things, right? The
Indeed.
Catching away of the church, the bride of Christ, right? It's an important
Indeed.
Event. Or did Jesus just forget to mention that back in verse 3 or about verse 4, right? But let's just keep going, because the next thing he says, we're getting about halfway through this chapter, this chronological sequence of events, And he says this. He says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So what he's talking about here, the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, the reference to Daniel, it's a reference to the Antichrist stepping into the temple. That's what we just read in 2 Thessalonians when he steps into the temple and declares he's God. He's the supreme authority. Here we have the abomination of desolation, which we know takes place around the middle of the last 7 years. And here it is in Matthew 24 in the sequence of events that Jesus gave. And we hadn't heard about a rapture yet. So let's keep reading. He says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. That's interesting. Those in the West Bank. I believe that's very clear. Once that comes under Palestinian control and this all hell breaks loose through the Antichrist, who I believe is the Jordanian prince. Yeah, we'll go ahead and put that one out there. let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Get out of there. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him that is in the field return back to take his clothes, and woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Why? Verse 21, for then, meaning after the Antichrist creates this abomination of desolation in the temple, then after this shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of this world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now here we see, then shall be great tribulation. The great tribulation has started. We're in it. We're in the midst of it. I believe this is clearly after the 3.5-year mark when the Antichrist declares a war on the saints, when he has 42 months to continue, Revelation 13. He says, then there will be great tribulation. Pastor Billy, Pastor Jeff,
yes,
has there been any mention of a resurrection, a rapture? I guess Jesus forgot it.
There has been no mention, my brother.
No mention, all right? But he said it then again, didn't he? Now look
yes,
what he
sir.
Says in verse 20. We're going to keep reading, verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now what he's saying there is if God let this go on forever, he didn't come back and stop it. No one would survive. Look at verse 23. He says, then, meaning after this, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ or there, believe it not. Because why? We're going to get a new set of false Christs and false prophets. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So wait a minute now. If the very elect are gone,
how can they be deceived?
Some people say, and some people say that the elect is the Jews. I got news for them. Yes, the Jews have an election. But when the term elect is used in the Bible in the New Testament, over and over and over and over in the New Testament, it is referring to the church of Jesus Christ. Even the
Amen.
Apostle John in his epistle said, unto the elect lady, the elect is the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, and Kevin said here, the Greek even says that it's the church. All right? So let's keep going. We still haven't read of any rapture. Verse 26, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now let's look at verse 29. We still haven't read of anything of a rapture. Look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Didn't say before. Nope. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then, after this, when? Immediately after the tribulation. After that, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, meaning in the clouds. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man, Jesus, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. What is that? The rapture of the church, the rapture of the elect. And when does it take place? Verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Could it be more clear?
Pretty simple to follow.
And yet, I remember this in 1989. I came back to the Lord. I got saved back in around 1980 when I was a young boy, and then, you know, didn't get discipled and didn't learn anything and drifted away into drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality and everything else. And I'll tell you, when I came back to the Lord in 1987 and repented and turned from my sin and truly went after Jesus, all that I heard at the time taught about the end times was a pre-tribulation rapture. And being a young believer, I didn't know any better. That's what I heard every preacher preach. That's what I read in books. I was given these books, a novel back then. It was about this, all of this, long before the Left Behind series. And so for a couple of years, that's what I believed, because I didn't really know anybody. But I was reading my Bible. I was studying my Bible. I was praying and I was fasting. And I never heard. Now, let me just say this real clear. Back in between 1987 and 1989, I never heard anyone even mention the possibility that there was another belief system, that there was another possibility that the rapture could be in the middle of the tribulation or at the end of the tribulation period of 7 years. I never even heard that. So I didn't even have anything to tempt me to believe, right? So I'm fasting, and during that time I went through many different periods of fasting, and on this particular fast, the Lord told me to fast 7 days and to be in prayer. So I was fasting for 7 days, no food, just liquids, fasting. And the Lord, on the fifth day, I was in my prayer closet, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, read Matthew 24 right now. And I said, okay. So, and I had read it many times, and I had even preached through it a few times. And so I read it, and I'm like, okay. And he spoke to me again very clearly. He said, read it again. So I read it again. I still didn't get it. And then he said, read it again. Now, at about the fifth time through, I'm sitting here thinking, what am I not getting? The Lord is trying to show me something, but I'm not seeing it. And at the fifth time through, I got to verse 29, and the Lord spoke very clearly to me. I said, immediately after the tribulation, not before, will I gather my elect from the four winds of the great sound of the trumpet. Amen. God himself, the Holy Spirit, opened my eyes. And I began to share this. Oh, let me tell you, it caused no small stir among the Assembly of God and Baptist and brethren and people that I was around at the time. Because this pre-trib rapture theory is like a holy grail to these denominations. I've had, and this is a sad thing, I've had brothers in the Lord that I led them to Jesus Christ. I discipled them. I led them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they forsook fellowship and relationship with me because of this issue. Got angry. I mean, get angry about it. And I'm like, hey, dude, this is one thing I could say. And Kevin can vouch for this, and Billy, you can vouch for it. You hadn't heard it from me as much as Kevin has, I'm sure, but people of my wife, our church members have heard me say, this is the one thing that I teach that I hope I'm wrong about. You don't hear that from the other side.
No, exactly not.
Now, here's the thing. Let me just say this, because I believe the rapture, and I'll share this before we get into some other scriptures. I believe the rapture of the first resurrection is at the end, just like Jesus said it was here in Matthew 24. I believe it's at the last trumpet, not a trumpet, a mysterious trumpet before seven more. But we'll deal with that in a second. But I actually say I hope I'm wrong. Here's the beauty of this. If I'm wrong, we get a pleasant surprise.
Amen.
If they're wrong, they've given a lot of people a false hope, a false comfort, a false security blanket that's going to shake their faith in the church, in pastors, in Christians. There's a lot of people already on that shaky fence.
Mm-hmm. So
it's
true.
It's not going to take much to shake them.
Now, that will shake their entire foundation.
And I'll tell you what, it's very important. It's very important to be able, I believe, to look ahead and prepare your heart spiritually, to prepare mentally and emotionally. How am I going to handle these situations? I think that there's nothing that beats the prepared heart, the prepared mind. The mind that's willing to go, you know, hey, to be here, I could face having to take this mark. I could face them trying to starve me out. I could face persecution, even martyrdom, even death over this issue. Am I prepared for that? Am I truly prepared? Have I dealt with all the sin and the compromise and the lukewarmness and the worldliness in my life? Am I close to Jesus? Am I going to be strong enough to handle what is coming, what I may very well see very soon? I just don't understand this idea, oh, I'm not going to worry about it, I'm going to be out of here.
Exactly. That's just like the time, if you recall, that I was telling you about that pastor that I had a conversation with, and I asked him about his plan of preparedness, and he told me point blank, well, that's not even on my radar screen. And I told him, I said, how can you say that? When you're going to have all these people looking to you for leadership and strength and looking to you to keep them focused on the Lord, and you don't have a plan of preparedness, how can you say that? But yet he did. And it's unfortunate. There's some churches that are like that, and it's a shame. It's truly a shame.
Yeah. I that's what happened. You know, I preached on end times prophecy throughout my time in the ministry now, 27 years. But there was a period that I got away from it. I got away from a lot of things. And between about 2003 and 2007, and I remember the Lord coming to me after a time of just rededication and fasting again and getting back in the Word and getting back in prayer like I should have been, and because I went through a really difficult trial. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly when he restored me and healed my heart and began to say, you know, you got to get back to doing what you're called to do. And when that happened, I'll never forget, he laid it on my heart so strong. He said, you get back to studying and preaching on Bible prophecy because it's all about to happen. And he said, you don't want to stand before me as one of those preachers who did not preach on this when it was happening at the end, when it was all falling apart. And I want to tell you, I have tried to obey that calling and that direction from the Lord, because we are moving very swiftly into these things, into this issue. And I want to play, you know, just kind of, this is a good moment to kind of segue, because I have another clip just to show how close are we. I want to play a clip from Regina Dugan. Many of you will not know who that is, but Regina Dugan, she works for DARPA. Now, if anybody doesn't know what DARPA is, as a matter of fact, I believe she headed up DARPA. She was, you know, one of the big dogs at DARPA. DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency of the United States Department of Defense. This is the little group that gets together and tries to think up creative ways to kill people and do all kinds of things with robots and drones and all kinds of technology. And they're out there trying to develop, you know, cutting-edge stuff. And anyway, she left DARPA, now get this, a government agency, to work for Google. And so she's giving a talk about the new technology and where we're headed with this technology. And she begins to talk about an implanted wearable devices. So let's listen to the former government agent of DARPA, who now works for Google, talking about where we're headed in technology.
What are we doing about that? Well, we're thinking of a whole variety of options for how you could do better at authentication. So you can start with nearer-term things like tokens or fobs that might have NFC or Bluetooth embedded in them, but you can also think about a means of authentication that you could simply wear on your skin every day for a week at a time, say an electronic tattoo. Now, we're talking about wearables. Everybody's interested in wearables. I'm profoundly interested in wearables. And what I will tell you is that there are some, we've made a lot of advances in wearables, but there's still some fundamental problems that we haven't solved. Like one of them is the mechanical mismatch between humans and electronics, right? So electronics are boxy and rigid, humans are curvy and soft. That's a mechanical mismatch problem. Well, a researcher at the University of Illinois, his name is Dr. Rogers, what he discovered is that he could use standard CMOS techniques to make islands of high-performance silicon connected by accordion-like structures that would allow it to stretch up to 200% and still be performing. And what he did is he founded a company and they started making electronic tattoos. So I'm wearing one here on my arm.
Do we have a camera to get a...
This is a developmental system made by MC10, and it has an antenna and some sensors embedded in it. And what we plan to do is work with them to advance a tattoo that could be used for authentication. Now, it may be true that 10 to 20-year-olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents. Right?
And that can have a design, right?
Sure.
They would certainly want some kind of cool design.
Options,
right?
Options. And that's some...
And there you have it. You hear them talking about it. Can you hear me out there, Billy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just making sure it's clear. We changed the mic here.
Yeah, you sound clear. I got you.
Okay, good deal. So what do you say about that, my brother?
Well, I think that, once again, it falls into the line of the deception. I mean, the kids of this generation will so easily fall for that. And they may jest to the fact, well, it would upset their parents, and they'd do it readily. And unfortunately, that's probably true in some cases. And it's just another classic example of how people that are not focused on the Lord, that are not awake to what's going on, are going to fall for each and every step of this deception that the devil's putting forth. And it's happening now. But if you were to go out into the general public, and oftentimes you see different shows, well, shows that a lot of us listen to, and I'll use Alex Jones as an example, not that he's the greatest example, but as an example, where they go out and they talk to people on the street and ask them questions about what's going on, true things that are going on. So many people in society don't have any clue. They're zombified. They're just blind to the fact. And I can guarantee you, I'm stepping on a limb by saying this, but I can guarantee you that those that are blind to what's going on has little and or no relationship with the Lord. They're blinded. And they need to open their eyes because time is just like the sand in an hourglass. It's steamrolling. And time's running out for them. It truly is. If we think the deceptions now are many, we haven't seen nothing yet. But the closer that we grow to the Lord, the more our eyes are going to be open, and we are going to see the signs, and we will gain more discernment. But those that don't, woe be it unto them, because they're going to fall for everything. and there's going to be a lot of things out. It's here now, and it's only going to get worse.
It is quite scary. And you know, it should be. We should be concerned about people's souls and where they're going, and they need to know what's going to happen to them. That's why we need to shout this as much as we can, loud and long, that it's time to turn from all sin. You know, you think about it, the mark of the beast. Let's just look at it. If no man is allowed to buy or sell, if no man is allowed to buy or sell unless they have that mark, then you know, you're gonna have to resist this, and your family may need food. You may need food, water, health care, and they won't let you have it unless you bow and submit and take that mark. So this is a serious issue. And we got
very
Christians
so.
Now in America that can't even stop listening to Beyonce, Jay-Z, or somebody else. They can't even turn off the TV and quit watching the film, but they're going to stand up and not be able to feed their family and resist the mark of the beast. We're in a dangerous place.
I think it goes back once again to the people that do not read their Bibles, do not study their Bibles, and do not live the Word. It's easy for someone to put on a coat and hang a sign and say that they're a Christian. Okay? But now the day is coming where the rubber meets the road. Being a Christian is not an easy life, but it's well worth it. Those that are obedient, that are with a repentant heart, and who truly draw close to the Lord, He will provide for your needs and He will protect you. But the fakers, the posers, the fence riders, and the players are in for a rude awakening. Because authentic Christians will be protected and will get through this and see the glory of God. But those that have been playing a game, those that have been just providing lip service, those who in fact have just been doing nothing but making a mockery of God Himself, are going to face a rude awakening. True, God gives us free will, but with that free will comes choices and decisions, and with choices and decisions come consequences. And very soon, it's pay-up day for those consequences.
Yes.
You know, that's all right. I'm getting a little riled up. Sorry, man.
But one thing, you know, we used to say that the pre-tribulation rapture was not a salvation issue. But I think in this late hour, it's becoming a salvation issue because mm-hmm. of this reason that we're discussing tonight about the mark of the beast and things like that. And it's leading people to a false sense of security, a false sense of hope that is not there.
Amen.
So I see where it's a salvation issue for these reasons. And it doesn't have anything to do with the blood of Jesus, anything like that. But I think if people tend to think they're going to be out of here when all this happens, and they take the mark because they're not, then now they reach that salvation issue point. And that's where our discussion tonight has got to hit home with somebody that's out there, that to believe this is potentially going to send you down a road that will keep you out of heaven. And it's like MacArthur and all these guys teaching this. You know, Matthew 18 talks about, you know, be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck when you cast into the sea than for you to make somebody stumble and fall. And that's, these guys that are teaching this are causing people to stumble and fall and lose their salvation because of a mark of the beast that's going to be instituted. I mean, where do these guys end up? Where do MacArthur and these guys that are saying the mark's okay to take, do they make it to heaven? It's hard for me to see that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, the blood of those peoples, you know, is on their hands. If they lead those people astray, they're responsible for those people. Yeah, I can't
Amen.
See that. But and that's something as pastors and as ministers and as evangelists and as elders and deacons that we take very, very serious. You know, every soul matters. And if we're not telling people the truth and they don't make it to heaven, we're responsible for those people. I mean, how can they do that? You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, do they not have a conscience? It's
I'll tell you, here's the verse that really sums it up. I mean, you think about it, but 1 Timothy 4:1, he said this, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times or the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And this is what we're seeing. And I know a lot of people say, oh, you can't fall away, you can't be lost if you were once saved. Well, how do you depart from a faith you never had?
Amen.
He made it very clear that seducing spirits and doctrines of devils would take hold. And literally, when it says there in the Greek, it talks about possessing their minds, beginning to control their mind. And the only thing that can set you free from a demonic force that begins to control your mind and teachings of devils is you're going to have to get in the Word of God for yourself. You're going to have to read the Bible and believe the Bible. And like the Bible says in the book of Numbers, let God be true and every man a liar. That's the way it's got to be. It doesn't matter if I say it. It doesn't matter if Pastor Kevin or Pastor Billy or John MacArthur, anybody else, it doesn't matter. You better go back to the Word of God and let God be true and every man a liar. And I'll say this, you better err on the side of caution instead of the side of danger, because we are headed into the last of the last days, and it's getting dangerous. And so I appreciate what Brother Kevin said there just a minute ago, that this does, the pre-tribulation rapture issue, the mark of the beast issue, this does become a salvation issue if you go down certain roads with it, if you take it to the end of the direction that they're heading with these things. That's why Jimmy DeYoung, that's why John MacArthur and Brandon House and some of these guys have ended up where they are. They started down some wrong roads, a pre-tribulation rapture, Calvinist theology, you know, once saved, always saved, no matter what you do. And so they end up in a very bad place now saying you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved when the Bible in Revelation 14 says completely the opposite. Listen to me, everybody listening out there, everybody that's listening to this program and you're still listening, or those who you may be listening to this recorded later at a later time, it's time to give your heart and your life to Jesus. It's time to confess your sin. It's time to repent. That means to turn away from sin. Turn away from your lukewarmness. Turn away from compromise. Turn away from false teachings of men there like Joel Osteen and Rick Warren and all these watered-down, seeker-sensitive, mealy-mouthed, you know, girly men preachers. And it's time to get in the Bible and do what you need to do. Break up with the devil. Like I said last week, you break up with the devil, you give him back his stuff. You don't keep living the same way. A Christian, a person that's been born again and following Jesus, they change. They turn from some things. You know what? I used to be a drunkard. I'm not a drunkard anymore. I used to be a fornicator. I'm not a fornicator anymore. I used to be a drug user, and I'm not a drug user. I used to be a fighter and hurt people in bars. I don't do that anymore. Because Jesus changed me, and I decided I'm going to turn from all that, and I'm going to go the way he wants me to go. That's Christianity. That's the gospel. that you can be forgiven of your sins through the blood of Jesus, through the resurrection of Jesus, through faith, by putting that faith into action. And faith put into action is repentance. It's turning from sin and beginning a new life, a new walk of obedience. Can I just say this? There is no relationship with God if you don't obey God. There
Amen.
Is no relationship with Jesus. You can say, I love Jesus all day long, but if you live a lifestyle of habitual disobedience to God and to, and I'm just saying, to, even to the New Testament commandments. A lot of people think we don't have New Testament commandments. We do. And it's real simple. If you don't change, if you don't turn, you will be lost forever. Let no man deceive you. Now, we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to take a little break here, and we'll come back and finish the last 10 minutes of the show. But listen, if you haven't made Jesus the absolute Lord of your life, I'm not talking about you go to church. Going to church is important. You need to find a good church. You need to have a pastor. You need to have elders around you that are godly men and women. But hear what I'm saying. You got to be born again, and you have to truly turn from sin and let Jesus be Lord of your life. You got to have faith in the blood that he shed on that cross. You have to have faith in his resurrection. You have to believe Jesus Christ is God Almighty, the Creator in the flesh. You got to believe in the true Jesus and do it the Bible way. If you do that, you will be saved, you will be forgiven, and you'll be on the right road. And you'll be ready to endure whatever may come down
Amen.
Your path.
Can I add something real quick?
Go ahead, Doug.
People just need to wake up, because there's a lot of people out there that claim they have a faithful walk with Christ, but they're still holding hands with the devil, and they can't do that. They can't do that.
Amen. I hope everyone listen. Call in. If you don't want to call into the show, you want to give your life to the Lord tonight, you want to repent and get right with God, you can call in tonight. You can talk to me. You can talk to Kevin. You can contact us afterwards through email or Facebook. But even if you don't contact us, do it. Do it at home. Go to your church, a good church, and do it. Whatever you got to do, it's time to do it. Please do it before it's too late.
But first get a Bible and start reading now. The moment will come when they will not allow distribution, possession of anything Christian. You'll go underground, a secret resistance, and face persecution, imprisoned and beaten. Now is the time to make your decision to battle his minions left on this earth, or fall for a false explanation. Prefer to be herded like sheep. The ancient delusion, the oldest of schemes, has come to conclusion. The mark of the beast from the father of lies, the angel of light, master of disguise. He's devising a plan, preparing us now, and through evolution convincing the crowd that aliens somehow are out there and bound to have all of the answers and power to know the solution. Like indigo children, smarter than humans, more intuition, much more evolved. They're sending a vision, prepare the whole world with a false explanation. If we're to evolve, we must remove Christians. They call it the cleansing, and this is their mission.
Evolve or die refers to whether humanity survives as a species. There is an enormous awakening happening on the planet.
The age of Aquarius ending duality. Oprah the Secret and Eckhart Tolle preach what will bring in a new age reality. Based in traditions of pagan theosophy, bound to be thousands of offshoots of Crowley. Students of Alice C. Bailey who follow the lies of Helena Blavatsky. Radically altering, changing the pages of history. Laying the groundwork forged by the tools of Lucifer. Paving the way for the United Nations. A slow preparation, patiently waiting since the creation. A garden of Eden, a planet whose placement in time is persuaded by aliens. Outside invasions, abductions, and cow mutilations. Creating an atmosphere ripe for the picking, with movies and Hollywood implanting trickery. Mastery over the masses, the whole world collapses in panic. All desperate for someone to save them. Obey anyone that will answer their questions. The savior of sorts, a new age messiah. The wolf in sheep's clothing is what will transpire. The mayhem is out of control at this moment. A world full of chaos, confusion, and torment. I'm telling you, don't stop at anything. You can't afford to face life without Christ as your king. The moment might come when
that forms a reality trapped in a world where it's actually happening.
That's one of my favorite quotes that a significant portion of the Earth's population will soon recognize, if they haven't already done so, that humanity is now faced with a stark choice, evolve or die.
Okay, we're back, and like it said, you're listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson and Pastor Billy Painter with us tonight, and I believe we've had a good discussion here on the Word about the Mark of the Beast and about the rapture issue. I do want to say this, just to give, you know, I said I would a minute ago, and we have about 7 minutes left. But let's look at a few more of the scriptures. We can look at a couple more. But in 1 Corinthians, where Paul talked about the rapture, this is the one that I mentioned a minute ago, and I find this kind of funny. Because, you know, the book of Revelation says that there's seven seals, and there's seven trumpets, and then there's seven vials of wrath. And these are things that are happening or to happen in the last days. What's interesting, I think most people have the traditional view that the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven vials all happened in the last 7 years. Now, I don't believe that, because the only one that tells us which set of those seven, it says that the vials tells us that it happened in the last 3.5 years. The other give no indication of over what time period they happened. But that's another study. I think we covered that a few weeks ago a little bit. But it's important to understand that, you know, there's seven trumpets to be blown. Now, I believe five of them have been blown, and there's a couple more that have to go. But even if you don't, let's say you believe that, you know, all the seals and the trumpets and the vials have to be opened in the last 7 years, and that tends to be the traditional belief out there. Well, the Apostle Paul, in talking about the rapture or the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 51 through, say, 52. We'll just read these here. Well, we'll say verse 50. He says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," that means die, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, that right there, he says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ, or the dead, shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, that right there is the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, telling us that the rapture or the resurrection of the saints, or the Christians, will be at the last trump. Now, if you have the traditional view of a pre-tribulation rapture, you believe there's going to be a trumpet sound, the Lord's going to descend from heaven, there's going to be the sound of the trumpet, the archangel, and that there's going to be this resurrection, this first resurrection is going to happen there. And then you say there's going to be 7 years of tribulation period, and then you say that there, and within that time period there's going to be seven more trumpets blown. You have a problem. There's only, whenever you use the term last trumpet like Paul did, that means that there's going to be more than one. But that the trumpet that raises us up from the dead, and we which are alive being changed and putting, take, going from this corruptible body and this mortal body to an incorruptible, immortal body, that moment, it says, tells us it will be at the last trumpet. Well, see, the pre-trib rapture is just impossible from Scripture. It really is impossible. You know, I use the example all the time. You know, we have another example in the Bible where God poured out plagues upon an evil nation or an evil culture, and it was Egypt. And he poured out 10 plagues, like he's going to pour out plagues in the last 3.5 years on this world. He poured out those plagues, and I tell people all the time, I said, the people of God, Israel, were they taken out before the plague or after? And anybody who knows the story knows that the children of Israel were protected in Egypt, and they did not leave Egypt until after God's judgments and after the world, which is the same picture we get from Revelation. I mean, in the book of Revelation, it's the same picture from Revelation 20, the same picture from Matthew 24, and here where Paul said that we will be taken at the last trumpet. So as we just have about 2 minutes here to close out the program, I just want to say this. Be prepared to face what's coming. The United States will fall. Economic collapse will fall. World War III, the war in the Middle East with Israel and Iran is about to heat up and happen. Things with Russia, China against the United States, these things are about to happen. These prophesied things are about to happen. And you need to be prepared. Check us out on the website, dnodal.org. We're glad you've joined us on Prophecy Quake. Thank you, Kevin, for being with us. Thank you, Pastor Billy. Thank you for being with us. And we hope that you'll join us next week at 7 o'clock Central Time to be with us. But we've enjoyed being with you. Contact us, email us, whatever you can do. But this is Pastor D. Nodal here in Alabama and Prophecy Quake. We're going to leave you for the evening. God bless.
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle. Be sure to join us next week, same time. And to further connect with us, go to deanodle.org or Facebook, Dean Odle Ministries.